It's such an honor to be invited to preach here today. I want to thank Pastor Eric, for the invitation for me to be here, and thank your interim senior pastor, Jennifer, for the privilege of standing here in your pulpit today. My apologies to Megan. I'll probably ad-lib here and there. I stand before you today as someone whose tradition is Protestant Christianity. Now, I quibble with that tradition here and there, but it's still my tradition. And so as I thought about this day today, of course, it is Palm Sunday, and I thought about the parade that happens in most mainline Protestant churches on Palm Sunday. It will likely be, in most congregations, a children's parade. The children will come in with their palm branches and will have learned some little chorus that allows them to sing Hosanna. They'll be singing and waving their palm branches, except for the ones who are too stunned by the whole experience to sing. But either way, they will all be dutifully videoed with their parents' iPhones as they parade through the sanctuary, because who doesn't love a parade? I remember the first parade I was ever in as a child. I don't know how my sister and I got to be in the community Christmas parade, but for some reason, we were dressed in winter coats with white rabbit fur hats and muffs to keep our hands warm. Do you remember those? Those fur muffs that you would stick your hands in? We were seated on the back of a convertible. It was a completely different experience to be in the parade from watching the parade. When you're in the parade, you can see everybody who's watching the parade. Parades, whether you're a spectator or a participant, have an energy to them that draws people to watch. A parade will always catch our attention. So we hear today the story told by Mark's gospel of the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and it appears to have been some kind of parade. Jesus, riding as he was on a donkey rather than walking, was likely able to see who was watching and who was joining. As the gospel stories tell it, Jesus enters Jerusalem at the beginning of Passover week. To understand the significance of the Palm Sunday story, according to John Dominic Crossan and the late Marcus Borg, you need to know that there are two competing parades happening on that day. In their book, The Last Week, What the Gospels Really Teach About Jesus' Final Days in Jerusalem, Borg and Crossan contrast the two parades. The commentary might go something like this. At one end of Jerusalem, entering from the east, the healer and teacher, Jesus of Galilee, with a message about the kingdom of God. He is riding on a donkey with the cloaks of common people spread on the ground and being greeted by his people with shouts of Hosanna, a greeting from the Jewish worship tradition. At the other end of Jerusalem, entering from the west, riding on a magnificent war horse, the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, followed by imperial cavalry and soldiers, all proclaiming the power of the empire. He is greeted with shouts of Caesar is Lord, a cry of allegiance all good Roman citizens were required to make, particularly those whose loyalty might be in question and cause them to lose the security of Roman protection. Borg and Crossan tell us that Jerusalem at that moment in history had the defining features of ancient domination systems. The many are ruled by the few. Ordinary people have little or no voice. There is an exploitive economic system designed to shift wealth upward, and there is religious legitimation of this system. In Jesus' day, under Roman domination, this was normalized. and the religious officials have become complicit. They run a complementary tributary system in the temple. Now, when reading the gospel stories about the last week of Jesus' life, you read that he was concerned, in the words of the gospel writers, with the Jews. But it's important to understand that Jesus' concern is not with the common people. This should be read as religious authorities. Jesus' concern is with the religious authorities who are complicit. Maybe you find this sense of competing visions to feel a little familiar. Are you struck, as I am, by the resonance with our contemporary life? The rich getting richer, the poor being exploited, power concentrated in the hands of a few privileged people, and religious leaders willing to sanction the system. Two competing visions, one called the kingdom of God, the other the power of the empire. It is telling the simple way that Mark ends the story of Jesus' little Jerusalem parade. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and when he looked around at everything, it was late, so he went home. I paraphrase a little. But really, what? There's no overthrow of the government. There's no organizing for an insurrection against the temple officials. There's no direct challenge to Rome. He looked around. He said, let's go home. It may be that that wasn't a parade at all, that Jesus' entry into Jerusalem should perhaps not properly be called a parade, but might more accurately be called a protest march. You know, a protest march is basically defined as when people walk somewhere because they disagree with something. Perhaps some of you have walked somewhere because you disagreed with something. There's been a lot to walk about recently in my life. The Palm Sunday parade appears to have been a prearranged counter procession, deliberately staged at the same time as Pontius Pilate was riding into Jerusalem to assert the authority of Rome during Passover week. The Romans knew that insurrections were likely during Passover week. But Jesus is not an insurrectionist. He is instead the embodiment of an alternative set of values by which those who join his movement are invited to live. The empire brought military strength. Jesus brought peasants, some of them formerly blind, paralyzed, ostracized, or afflicted with leprosy. Probably still blind, paralyzed, ostracized, and afflicted with leprosy, and yet embraced by the community of Jesus. The empire brought horses and swords. Jesus brought a donkey and palm branches. The empire brought the strength of weapons and the ethic of violence. Jesus brought bread and wine. The empire brought the rule of law. Jesus brought the law of love. This alternative vision announced by Jesus, where the lofty are made humble and the humble are lifted up and the hungry are filled and the rich go away empty, where love is the only weapon that can overcome hate, where peace overcomes violence, that alternative vision is never well received by the power of empire. The parade of empire and the protest march of Jesus set the stage for the events of Holy Week. Jesus and Pilate will meet face to face, and the empire will exercise the power that it has at its disposal. It will look, by the end of the week, as though death, violence, popularity, and cowardice have won. Jesus' friends will deny, betray, or desert him. Pilate will not have the courage to liberate him. The crowd will vote for Barabbas over Jesus in a spontaneous and ironic popularity contest. At the end of the week, there will be another parade. Jesus will be paraded through the streets, beaten and bloody, to show the people what happens when you lead a protest march against the empire. You do not have to look very far in the world today to see how the violence of imperial power still works to destroy life. And I protest. I protest chemical warfare in Syria. I protest retaliating with bombs. We ought to keep having parades. And instead of palm branches, we ought to carry signs that say Black Lives Matter and My Body Is Not Your Business and War Is Wrong. We ought to keep making little pink hats with little cat ears and wear them to protest to transform misogyny into empowerment. And now I see they're making some kind of hats with a scientific symbol on them for the science march that's coming up. We ought to wear these and keep having our parades. As it is, we have tamed Palm Sunday into a happy little parade. We have made the cross an item of home decor. And just this week, we learned that a soft drink company is willing to turn protest into a commercial. You may have seen the media coverage of the Pepsi ad. A bunch of hip, mostly white young people are marching in the streets. They look to be having a good time, and they don't look upset about anything. They are soon joined by Kendall Jenner, who makes everything all right by giving a Pepsi to one of the police officers who are on crowd control duty. As you can imagine, there was some outcry. Bernice King, the daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., may have had the most concise critique of this ad. The ad was quickly pulled, although you can still see it online, I think. Bernice King used, of course, the platform everyone uses for such thing, Twitter. She tweeted a photo of her father, Martin Luther King Jr., with the hand of a police officer on his chest pushing him. And she captioned it, "If only Daddy had known about the power of Pepsi." But what Martin Luther King Jr. knew is what Jesus knew. There are fates worse than death. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that the invitation of Jesus is to follow Jesus' path, to follow him on the way, to follow him on the road, and that that path leads to Jerusalem and thus to confrontation and therefore to death. To save black bodies and to save Syrian children and to save refugees and to save GLBTQ youth and to stand up to misogyny and abuses of power is to take up the protest of Jesus. No matter what your faith tradition is, that kind of action is to take up the protest of Jesus. Palm Sunday is about two parades, one more properly, I think, called a protest. It's about two crowds, one cheering for Jesus as Messiah, the Savior of his people from their oppression by the Romans. The other is shouting allegiance to the Romans, an occupying force that has been particularly brutal with the Jews. Here is all the power of Rome on display with the pomp and circumstance that such official occasions demand. And here is an alternative parade, quickly staged, spontaneously attended, and yet planned. In this parade, the much-loved, charismatic, kind, and prophetic preacher, wisdom teacher, who has gathered the masses with no official sanction at all, from either the palace or the temple. The death-dealing world still has its way. But the final protest is God's. God's protest to the death-dealing ways of the world is described in the Gospels as resurrection or eternal life. Its power is love, and it is the power to give life to those who embrace death. In the contest between death and life, life wins. In the contest between violence and love, in the end, love wins. In the contest between popularity and faithfulness, faithfulness prevails. There will be parades and protests. There will be cries of Hosanna and shouts of Crucify. And we are, of course, capable of being in both crowds. But always, the divine power of ever-creating love is inviting us to participate in the sacred work of doing justice and seeking shalom and proclaiming life and saying yes to God's dream for the whole creation. May we hear that invitation and say yes.